Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. We are with Cesar Loya. He is the missions pastor for Calvary Albuquerque. Cesar, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim.
And you have a lot going on in the missions department.
Yes, we do. A lot of exciting projects. And God has just been blessing the work that's going on at Calvary Church and specifically in what we're in charge of.
Cesar, I can't keep track of what's going on in this little recording studio, which is maybe 12 by 12. You're keeping track of people all over the world.
Yeah, and at times that can be a little challenging as well. And so, but God has been so good to just help us to continue fostering those relationships. Our missionaries are so good at connectivity. Mm. And that's one thing that we appreciate about them. They will update us on what's going on. God has been so good to them. And most of my time is spent celebrating with them, the wins and what God is doing.
Awesome.
And obviously they struggle at times. They're like us. They're not like spiritual superheroes. So there are times that we just, they go through many difficulties and we just have to then slow down enough to talk things through, mm-hmm. and pray with them and make sure that they're exercising wisdom. It can be treacherous for a missionary as well.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine, and we'll talk about this a little later in the interview, but I want to talk to you about some technology and things, because that might make it a little easier to have the connectivity across the other side of the world. In the old days, when I say the old days, I'm talking not that long ago, maybe 30 years ago, yeah. You had to make a phone call to a foreign country, and that wasn't always so easy.
Right. You know, and it's funny, my kids who are, my younger mm-hmm. two are, 10 and 7. They came into my office here at Calvary one time and they were like, what's that thing sitting on your desk? And it was a telephone. They had never seen a literal telephone. They've only seen cell phones.
That is hysterical.
And so I was like, this is a telephone. And it blew my mind because, you know, I remember the rotary phone and all of that stuff. But it's true, like we have amazing connectivity nowadays where I can right now from my smartphone message all of our missionaries and their response is great.
Wow.
They're responding to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even just with the advent of social media and websites, we're able to get real live updates with images and video of how they're doing. And so our missionaries are also really good at bringing people into their world, into what they're up to.
So, sir, talk to us a little bit about missions.
Yes.
A lot of people think that missions is just kind of the opportunity for you to go share your faith with somebody. But we're really talking about something that's cross-cultural. We're really talking about something that's out of our neighborhood.
Yes. Yes. Well, missions is... It's a couple of things, right? There's some misconceptions of what missions is, right? The Lord has called us to go out, and you see the model in which Jesus sent his disciples out in Acts chapter 1. He sent them into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the world, right? And so we, in essence, think about, okay, well, the ends of the world, that's where we start usually, in a missions department. But we encourage people, don't just seek the international opportunity, seek the local opportunity. Do it all, right? Mm-hmm. Obey the Lord in all of those ways, all of those regions, all of those places. And so what we've tried to do is be very intentional about what we're doing locally. And the church has done a great job of doing things locally that would share the gospel, share our faith. And then we have some things that are happening that are not too far away. One of our missionaries, Lando Benali and Angie, his wife, are out in Gallup, just north of Gallup. Mm-hmm. And if you ever go visit them, they have the first and only Calvary chapel on the Navajo reservation.
Oh, neat.
It's amazing, right? And so he does a bilingual service both in Navajo and in English. And he's built a really good rapport with the community there. We were on an outreach with him last winter. And there was a meeting at the chapter house, and we had just set up outside of the chapter house because we didn't reserve the room inside. They were having a Christmas dinner, and there were about 150 people in there, a little bit more, maybe a little more than that. And they were going through the traditional ceremonial things that they would do in a dinner, and they were doing giveaways and all of that. Well, Landell, you know, because of the rapport that he had in the community, we had just been outside doing our own thing. They invited him in to share the gospel, to pray, to even do some giveaways and have some fun with the folks out there. And so what I love is a person like that came to Albuquerque to be trained, to be a pastor. Once he received that training and that call from the Lord, he just went right back to the region that he grew up in and started influencing with the gospel. So you have local opportunities, you have regional things going on. So you think about when Jesus called his apostles out, they started in Jerusalem. Then there was great persecution, so they were forced to get out of there, right? They went into Judea. Jesus mentioned Samaria.
Yes.
Hey, boys, don't forget Samaria,
right?
Because that culture and those people were not well regarded by the Jews. They were considered half-breed Jews.
And you're really talking about racial discrimination.
Absolutely, right? And I love that reminder from the Lord is there is no one beyond the gospel. And in our mindset and our mentality, there's no group, there's no religion, there's no creed, sexual orientation that is outside of the reach of the Lord. And so the boldness that gives us is that the Lord has called me to my Samaria. And in our American culture here, there are plenty of Samarias, I'll tell you. There are plenty of racial divides or even ways in which we just look down on people that are different than us.
Yeah,
and that's
amazing?
Not to be the case, right? And God's doing a tremendous work, really, to erasing those lines and just having good civil conversation.
I've brought this up with other guests on other shows where I remember 40 years ago, we were very zealous for sharing our faith. So we got those three spiritual law tracts.
Yes.
And we went in and we would just walk up to anybody. And I think we were kind, but we weren't long-suffering. We weren't invested in a relationship. We were just kind of putting forth our idea. You know, we weren't badgering anybody, but we'd ask if we could talk to them. We'd share the three spiritual laws. And then if they didn't immediately agree with us, we would kind of, oh, well, thanks for talking. Talk to you later. But we were really walking away from those relationships. And ministry has really changed, hasn't it?
It has, yes. And so, you know, I'll point to one expression of ministry that we do here at Calvary Church and something that is under the Calvary Missions umbrella, which we call Calvary on Campus. There are followers of Christ that go onto the UNM and now CNM campus and offer free coffee and just start conversations with people. And we have seen many come to Christ through just having a conversation, listening and not lunging with, oh, this is what I believe really quickly, right? But just listening to a person's story, caring enough to spend time with them, to have a cup of coffee, to say, tell me a little bit more about yourself. And then what happens when we start with listening, people will reciprocate the questions we ask. They'll say, well, then what do you believe?
Yeah.
And that's a wide open door to sharing. And what's amazing is without screaming on a corner, you know, somewhere on a street corner, we're able to just go in with the love of Christ, with a gentle influence, listening before lunging, and people are responding to that, or they're responding to the kindness of people and the kindness of the Lord.
Tell us the latest news. You've talked about some exciting things happening. You've just announced some missions trips that
are
going to be taken. What's the big news going on at Calvary?
Yeah, so we have it's about 7 mission trips that we're taking this year, and a few to Juarez, Mexico, which I'm excited about. Juarez has gone through a really tough year and a half recently, where there was an upflare of violence and things that have gone on. But things have chilled out a little bit to where we're confident we can continue sending teams. And obviously we operate in a safe way. But, the work that's going on there, one of our missionaries is established in Juarez, Mexico. Carlos and Sylvia Garcia have started this beautiful after school program in a impoverished neighborhood that, is not a tourist attraction by any means, but, they've set up a beautiful facility that kids can come to after school to learn Bible lessons, to get tutoring, to learn how to read. There's a lot of illiteracy in that region. And so we partner up with them to take teams out there to support them however we can. And so we have a couple of trips going there. We're excited about that. And those are weekend trips. You know, so for those that are like, well, I can't commit 2 weeks or a longer time, you know, my work won't let me go. Well, there's weekend trips that are a little more affordable that we offer to Juarez, Mexico.
And it's really an opportunity to find out if you're called or gifted to be there.
It's my favorite training ground is Juarez, because it's dangerous enough that you always have to be aware of your surroundings, yet we don't operate in fear. The Lord has not called us to operate in fear. He is, and Carlos Garcia, he's one of our board members here at Calvary Church, and I had a conversation with him early on when he was, you know, really establishing the work out there. I used to work at the bookstore, and we would work together a little bit, and I asked him, and it was at the height of the cartel action that was going on in the mid-2000s, and I asked him, well, aren't you a little skittish going over there so much? And he said, this is the exact time we should be going. Mm-hmm. Is when things are at the height of despair. People are desperate for the Lord. And so I love partnering with people that have that kind of vision of we're going to be there. We're going to be there. And, you know, obviously when we take a short-term trip of Americans, we're safe.
Sure.
Right? The Lord calls these folks that are there long-term to be there regardless of what goes on around them, to just be there and be present. And we're seeing the fruit of it. Many, many kids that have gone through the after-school program. As a matter of fact, the Mexican government has studied Amigo Fiel to do that program in other cities in Mexico.
Wow.
It's a top-rated. They've won awards, top-rated after-school program. They really know what they're doing. And it's awesome. We have a saying around here in missions is, let the excellency of your service be worshiped to God.
Yeah.
And so that's how many of our missionaries operate, is with excellence.
Cesar, as we're talking about this, I want our listeners to realize that this is not just time spent. There's a lot of spending that goes on. There's a lot of resources. There's financial resources. There's prayer. So when we come back after this little break, I want to talk a little bit about the senders and the people that don't necessarily go out into the field, but they're working to support and just be available to the people in the field. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more. Cesar Loya in the studio with us this afternoon. We'll be right back.
Okay, Grandpa and Stella, let's go over our list. We've got to make sure we're ready to open our downtown Monroe's at 4th and Mountain. Are we serving the same great Monroe's food?
Same menu, same recipes, same cooks, new kitchen.
Check, ready to give the same great service to our customers?
Same waitstaff, new dining room.
Check, same great Monroe's atmosphere?
Of course, same friends and family and air conditioning.
Check, we're ready. Monroe's on Osuna. And coming soon, the new Monroe's downtown at 4th and Mountain.
Listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Hi, this is Jim Williams with ABQ Connect, and Cesar Loya is in studio with me. So we're talking about the things going on in the mission fields. You've got some short-term trips. The trips down to Juarez, Mexico are weekend trips.
Yes.
Tell me the other trips that are going on.
Yeah, a couple that I'm very excited about, and we haven't gone to this destination in quite some time. If you're listening, you've heard over KNKT, we've talked about Bev Rich, in Uganda quite a bit. And, her husband passed away a little over 5 years ago. And, really she's stayed back to continue the work of the ministry. But that 5 years of mourning has been very intense for her. And so, in the short 3 years that I've been here, on assignment as a missions pastor at Calvary Church, I've spent some time, just talking Bev through some of these, challenges that she's had, in ministry challenges and also mourning, but she's in a place where she's ready to go with some short-term teams. And we're very excited. We'll be visiting her twice this year. Chip Lesko is actually leading one of those trips, which is amazing. Early October. Be looking for that on the, Calvary Missions website. But there's also another trip at the end of September, that Calvary Missions is conducting as well. And, those are exciting for us. They're going to be, really just observing and seeing and being involved in the work that Beveridge does day in and day out. Mm. We're talking prison ministry, a school of ministry, lots of interaction with kids out there. And then just the everyday things that go on that she's responsible for. it's a dynamic ministry. There's a church on site. They do a lot with helping people medically, and so it's a very great compassionate ministry they have out there.
And it's really comprehensive because they're living among the people, they're meeting the physical needs of people. So, and to get those services, you don't have to have made some dynamic profession or confession of faith. You receive those services and they love on you no matter what.
They really do.
And people people come to faith as a result of those relationships.
It's true. And Bev tells stories of people that they've ministered to. And what's amazing is you minister to one person and then their entire family is influenced and affected by that. And so, they do a tremendous work out there. They have a really great big ministry team. It's not just Beveridge doing it by herself. She has a great team out there and even other foreign missionaries that have dedicated their lives to helping her out, which is great.
Well, you mentioned Chip Lusko. And, of course, for our listeners that don't know Chip, he is the general manager of our radio station, has been a long time part of the ministry at Calvary Albuquerque. And you may have heard the name Levi Lusko, and you may have heard the name Jesse Lusko, who's been a frequent guest on our program. We had Levi last week. Jesse is the pastor of Calvary Chapel Westside, Calvary Albuquerque Westside, and is just doing amazing things. And then Daniel is also working on the campus of Calvary Albuquerque. And I know their little sister, Heidi, is involved with some different things too. But the Luscos are people that just love the Lord and are doing some amazing things. Now, I wanted to mention Chip because I think he's going with his wife, right?
He is. They are co-leading this trip together, right? Chip and Larissa. And
she's gotten very involved in that ministry. And
very much so, yeah.
What a neat thing for couples to do together.
You know, it's great. About 5 years ago, I had the privilege of co-leading a trip with my wife. And we just celebrated our 18th anniversary. And so thank you. Appreciate it. But in those 18 years, we've been very intentional to do ministry together. Mm. And so I love that you mentioned that, Jim, because it's one of those things that, when you get your family involved, it becomes a way of life for the family. And so that's something that we try to instill into our three kids is ministry isn't just something we decide to do every once in a while. It's a lifestyle that we live. It's an obedience to Christ that we follow.
I said before the break that we were going to talk a little bit about the way you can get involved. So what I'd like to do is the people that go into the field are not the only people that are involved in missions. So can you kind of break down how the team works together and what different kind of jobs, if you will, ways to serve God has called people to? And then we'll talk about how they can get in touch with you to get involved.
Yes, very true. Yeah. And so many expressions, right? And so we start with that that model of serving locally, serving regionally, possibly going on a short-term trip. And if the Lord is calling you long-term to a foreign country, please obey the Lord and take steps to do that. Mm-hmm. We point many people towards great sending organizations. That's not one thing that we specialize in here. We're more just an expression of what Calvary Church does. But there are experts out there that can show you the ropes, show you the way to getting out responsibly to the foreign mission field if that's your calling. Mm-hmm. And we've had several say, I'm praying with several that have said, I am wanting to go long term. And we love that. That's great. In all of it, just be sure to obey the Lord in what he has you do. And you mentioned, Jim, is all the different roles that people play. So Paul mentioned the scriptures of those that supported him financially, that he wouldn't have been able to plant churches in, you know, throughout Asia and throughout the outskirts of Israel had he not had prayer partners and even financial supporters.
Sure.
And so you can hop onto the Calvary website to see all of our missionaries and consider getting involved in their lives in one way or another, definitely in prayer, mm-hmm. If the Lord would compel you to financially. And we also have what we call care teams. And what a care team is they partner closely with that particular missionary to communicate with them, to boost their morale, to get, you know, kind of in-depth prayer requests and be able to pray through things. Or when they visit, to just be hospitable and take them in and hang out with them. We actually have Beveridge coming here soon, mm-hmm. In May. And so, her group, her care team is excited about that, to be able to host her and accompany her to functions that she'll be attending. And so I hear from my missionaries all the time is, man, the group of people that we have back in Albuquerque in this region are a big part of what they do. And so there are many ways for people to partner. And there's also that bit of become trained. We hold evangelism trainings constantly here at Calvary Church. I'll be checking our website for when we have those. The next one should be around May. Mm-hmm. And to be trained on how to share your faith. If you ever want to observe and see what we do on the UNM and CNM campus, you're more than happy to come join us. Get into LifeTrack to find out where you're specifically gifted, what spiritual gifts you have, what your temperament is, and there we have a list of, hey, if your spiritual gifts lie here and the Lord has given you this particular voice, mm-hmm. We're not all the same, Jim, and so you know, I can't do what you're doing, and it's but God is good to make us unique, and we all fit in the body of Christ just so that we can glorify Him together. And so I definitely encourage people that if they want to get involved in Calvary Church, attend LifeTrack. It's a really great way to do that. We hold that every Sunday at 11:30 here in the Hub, or even Wednesday nights at 6:30 in the Hub. Just plug in. It's a really great way to find out where you can serve.
So, sir, I've talked to a number of younger people, and I'm 60-plus years old. I won't say exactly, but older than I'd like to be. But it's been great years. But I look at people that are under 40 years old, maybe even under 30, and they don't have a habit of attending church. So their concept is, what do you guys do, go to church on Sunday? And so culturally, they don't really understand the fellowship that you would have at a church like Calvary Albuquerque or any of the other churches in town that are just constantly doing things. Shift away now, if you would, just from missions, but talk about that whole experience of LifeTrack and fellowship and how you find out who you are and where you fit in and what you're gifted to do. Everybody is gifted.
Yes, it's true. And all of us fit in the body of Christ. Mm. Now, we come to a fork in the road in our walk with the Lord if we're going to be a dormant.
Mm. Well, I call
Christian.
It lukewarm.
Yeah.
I call it that, you know.
Yep.
God says He'll spit you out of His mouth if you're lukewarm. I mean, I'd rather see somebody really cold to the gospel.
Right.
Or really on fire to the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, either exactly. One of those is pretty easy to deal with. But people that are apathetic about anything.
Right.
You know, coaching in sports, kids that had apathy were just drove me crazy.
Exactly.
But when somebody is like, I'm not really a basketball player. I really love football. Well, I love that because now you can take them where they feel like they want to be.
Yes.
But then you have other people that are just fired up about a certain sport or art or music. Musicians, I find, have just amazing passions.
Right.
Long time ago, I was having a conversation with Skip Heitzig. And Skip said, look, one of the things that I look for in people when I'm looking for somebody that's gifted to pastor, which is what you do, is if they can go do anything else, that's what they should do.
Yes, absolutely.
So tell us how does that work? What can somebody expect? Do they just have to come in and just pour their heart out to people that they don't know? Or do the people at Calvary and the folks in your department allow them to, you know, just kind of get to know people, and then it's just a process of friendship and fellowship, right?
It is a process, and you make a really good point there is, you know, we look at, I think one mistake that we often make is we compare ourselves to others that are firing on all cylinders.
Mm.
And so all of us are in a particular stage of our walk with the Lord, right? So John chapter 3, Jesus talks to Nicodemus about being born again.
Mm-hmm.
Some among us are babies in Christ.
Sure.
But if that baby in Christ is comparing themselves to someone who's walked with the Lord and has a maturity that they're able to minister dynamically, the discouragement can really set in.
Mm.
So be patient with yourself in the process in which the Lord has you in right now,
mm.
right? So I was just training some leaders in how to lead a mission trip.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I had to tell them was, don't compare yourself to me. I've done this several times. And you know, this is not a brag, but it's that concept of competence brings confidence. Mm-hmm. Right? So when and you know this in athletics, when you have the person that it has a really high free throw percentage versus me, who would probably shoot less than 50%, right? And hit the rim a lot of times, I can't compare myself, because what if that person that shoots over 80% has taken thousands and thousands of repetitions to get to that point, when I'm just barely starting? I can't compare myself. Same in the body of Christ. Is be who you are uniquely. God has gifted you with particular gifts, talents, temperament to serve in a specific way, and pray about where the Lord would have you. And what the glorious thing is that Calvary Church has set up several things to be able to ease into this. One thing we care about big time is discipleship, meaning our walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So what stage are you in? Being part of a connect group is a great way to fellowship with other believers, get people to know you, and then be able to sit under someone's wing, right? Same athletics comparison is you know, I marvel, why do multi-million-dollar athletes still need a coach?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, they do.
Wouldn't they be able to just do it on their own?
Bad habits. And,
yeah. Right?
I mean, little things. Like, I'm always amazed that guys getting paid $5 million a year can't shoot free throws.
Right.
You know, the NBA players are just brutal at free throws. Well,
yeah.
They need a coach to make them practice and do some things that they don't like to do.
Exactly. Same in life. I firmly believe we all need mature believers in our lives that will help point the way to us. Paul said it himself, follow me as I follow Christ. Mm-hmm. Well, why was he able to say that?
Yeah.
He had gained a walk with the Lord where he can say, okay, I'm at a place where I can bring people under my wing and bring people along to show them how I did it. Mm. And so a lot of what we do is developing people into those things, into their next step and into the trajectory that God has for them specifically. Mm.
Cesar Loya is in studio with us this afternoon. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be back to talk more about missions right after these messages.
I'm Rob Snead, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old-school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new school at Power Ford. We'll give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part? We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part? You rated us Best of the City and Ford Dealer of the Year. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. Cesar Loya is in studio with us. He is the Calvary Chapel Missions Pastor. Been on a few mission trips of his own, done a lot of training with people. Cesar, I'm impressed in our previous segment that, you know, you're really calling people to get off the couch. You
That's
know,
true. Yeah.
There's no place on the couch. I mean, okay, you want to watch a show. I get it. But frankly, binge watching like 20 shows in one day and never leaving the living room and having a bag of chips and dips and all of these different things. And I'm not criticizing. I'm actually concerned about people's health.
Sure.
In all aspects. You know, yes. We have a regular guest named Jennifer Bryant, nurse, nutrition counseling, and she's telling people to eat intentionally. And I'm focusing folks just sitting around, you know, doing bad things to their body, eating too much, drinking too much, not eating intentionally, can't even remember what they ate an hour ago, that kind of thing. I'm thinking about people that may be listening to this program right now, and they don't realize that all the churches in town have things on Monday nights and Wednesday nights and Saturday night services and Sunday morning services, and they have women's groups and they have men's groups. And they have short-term mission trips like you're talking about. Tell our listeners how they get in touch with Calvary Missions Department.
Yes. So over the phone, 344-0880, 505-344-0880, you can ask for missions. And they'll connect you to myself or our administrator, Alicia Aragon, who does a great job. She's the backbone of all of this. Mm. She really supports it all. And so, just call that number. That's the Calvary Church main number. Ask for missions, and they'll get you connected with the right people.
If you go to calvaryabq.org, there's a little thing up in the top that's like a search on the website, and you need to type in missions there. That's the fastest way I found to get to missions.
Yeah, you can do that. Another easy way is go all the way to the bottom and find the missions logo, and it'll show you all of our missionaries. It'll show you how to apply for a trip. And so all of the info is on there as well.
In our first couple segments, we talked a little bit about some short-term trips, some things that you've announced you're going to go out in the field. And are you going up to visit the Benalis?
You know, so we're talking to them about conducting a vacation Bible school sometime this summer. We haven't posted it on our website yet, but that's soon to come. The other mission trips that we're taking this year, we're going to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico two times. One will be a teenager trip, a youth trip, right, with Spectrum Student Ministries, and I'm excited. I'm helping to lead that one this year, so that'll be fun. And then the other time we're going is right around Christmas time for a week. That one's open to all ages, 15 and over. And so we're excited about those opportunities in Mexico. And really, Bill and Renee Martin have a Calvary out there in Puerto Vallarta, about one block away from the coast, from the beach, in a really great tourist area.
Wow.
And so they capture a lot of the people that are visiting and people that are in that area. They're smack dab in the middle of a party central, right, of a place that's just known for paradise and relaxing and partying, but they're a light and a dark place in that area. But about a 20-minute drive inland, they have this really great ministry. They have a mission set up where they're constantly working with kids in this impoverished community. And, a couple times ago that I was out there, Bill Martin drove us around right around the block where there used to be a city dump. Mm-hmm. And kids would go out there and dig around for food that they can eat. So it was really a place of big time despair. But they have also a fantastic after school program as well.
Well, and a lot of times, and I'm going to mention just American tourists, you go to somewhere like Puerto Vallarta and you don't really ever go see how the indigenous people are living. And obviously those resorts support the economy. A lot of the folks work there. I know I've been down to Rocky Point off the Gulf of California,
yes.
And the drive through Mexico into that is really eye-opening. Just unbelievable poverty and difficulty. There's a lot of people that'll stop you at every stoplight and ask you for, money, and you can just see they have no clothes, they have no food. It's very difficult. And then all of a sudden you drive into this resort area, and it's indicative of massive amounts of wealth.
Yes, it's pristine.
It's
beautiful,
pristine.
Right?
And yeah. And a lot of the folks, I got to know a lot of the people that work there, and they told me where they lived and how they lived, and, that it was a blessing to have that job, and they're serving people and they're doing different things. But, they don't want to panhandle or anything. They just want to work for a living. But we need, as Christians, to start thinking about how can we minister and give and do these different things? And that's what missions is.
Absolutely. And so, and some of the conversations I've had with Bill Martin, the elder of his church that helped him out, his right hand, just passed away last year of cancer. Mm. And one of the things that he's relayed to me is that the laborers are few, right? The harvest was plenty, but the laborers are few. And losing his right hand man was just a really difficult thing for that church. And so you have a couple hundred people that depend on the church to, share the word and continue the ministry that they do. And yet you lose such an important person like that. And so, for the listeners out there, please take seriously maybe the call that the Lord would have on your life to even come alongside an existing ministry. I've heard from several missionaries is, hey, do you have anyone that has a missionary call that can come and partner with us? That can be trained up and that can, just have that heart to go. Maybe you're not of the pioneer spirit where you're going to go start a new work on your own, but you can come and come alongside someone in harmony and in Christian love and unity, serve the Lord, do what you're good at, but just in a foreign country and or with a work that's partnered with a church. And so sometimes we have a misconception of what it is to be a missionary as well. Oftentimes the most effective people are those that come alongside an existing work, and can really be that right-hand person for a pastor or a church planner or someone that's out there like Bev Rich.
So, Sarah, if you're Native American, you're listening to this show and you're hearing about the Benalis up near Gallup, And I don't know if they're on the Navajo reservation.
They are. Yes.
But I was fortunate to have an interview with First Lady Nez.
Great.
They're actually based in Arizona, but as First Lady of the Navajo Nation, she and her husband are Christians, and they're doing a lot to just change around the culture. Native Americans have been afflicted by things almost in an exaggerated way. For example, alcoholism. It's prevalent throughout our society, throughout America, but it's been particularly devastating to some of those cultures. I've had a lot of experience with relationships with Native American communities in two ways. One, I was a basketball player and a basketball coach, and I got to tell you, when you start talking about the Native American community, and I don't care which one you talk about, they have embraced basketball as like their national sport, and they can seriously play.
Right. Yes.
And they just have a blast, and it's fun for the kids, and it's an inexpensive thing for them to do. But it's amazingly fun to just be involved in girls and boys. And then growing up in New Mexico, I saw many, many years that the cross-country athletes on the Native American pueblos, I guess, and the reservations were very talented runners, amazing, amazing athletes. But it's just been in the last 10 or 15 years that we've started to see the young people start to branch out into art. And you start to see their intellectual capacity as students and scientists and all of these amazing things. So to me, it looks like the cultures are starting to heal and to starting to blossom. And, you know, I'm an American. I would love indigenous people to be part of America and still be proud of their heritage and where they live and know the history of their people. But I also want to see them become successful and blossom. And ultimately, we need everybody to know Jesus as a personal savior. And these relationships that you're talking about building are amazing. So I want to get back to my question. That was too long of a statement. But you have the Benalis, and they have a concept that's working. If you're on a, if you're part of another tribe or you're part of another culture, and I don't know how cultures interact, but I get the sense that they would be willing to help train up anybody that wanted to start this through your department.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, they have partnered with us to work in another community as well. And so, that's one of those things is that there's this spirit of generosity and of bringing others along to just help them to say, this is what worked for us. I'm glad that you mentioned youth and the Native culture, Landel. Both Landel and Angie work at a high school, right? Mm. They work at Tehachapi. And Landel is a coach for football and baseball.
Wow.
And he's always around youth, you know, and it's fantastic. Many of our missionaries working with kids, working with teenagers. And I'll tell you, Jim, that is one of the greatest ways to affect a culture. Mm-hmm. You reach the youth, you've reached the culture.
Yeah.
And so many young people, regardless of where they're growing up, grow up without a purpose or grow up without knowing right from left, right? And so there's so much despair, but really what they're crying out for is that community, is to be loved, is to be appreciated for who they are, and then the gospel transforms lives. And so we know that, and we carry that unashamedly. Knowing that we're not ashamed of the gospel, we know that it's there for changing lives, transforming people. And so what we've seen with the Benalis and even the Martins in Puerto Vallarta is they structure so much of what they do around youth. And I've been very excited to partner with Spectrum here in Albuquerque, right? So there's going to be a handful of teenagers that go with us to Puerto Vallarta, and it's going to be on me to instill that vision and those values and those habits, positive habits, that when these teenagers go on this mission trip with us, they're not going to come back the same. They're going to come back with their lives changed through the gospel, but also with some really positive habits. One thing that we're really intentional about doing on a mission trip is we share the load of responsibility. So I'll say, all right, if I have Johnny on a trip with me, Johnny, you're the chaplain for the day. You're opening us up in prayer. you're giving us a good word. Like, what's God teaching you in your quiet time? Well, guess what? Johnny has to pray and Johnny has to have a quiet time in order to share, right?
You bet.
Or, hey, today you're quality control, Susie. And so, did we leave this place cleaner than when we arrived? No? Okay. Then show us what we need to clean up. So that when teenagers come back home and their socks are all over the place and, you know, that they're just at least thinking about these habits that they've instilled in this 2-week period of time, concentrated time. And hopefully it's building a habit that they can bring back home and they're changed because of it. So we took a trip last year to Puerto Vallarta with teenagers and a few of them, just caught that missions bug and some of them have gone again and a few of them have signed up for a third trip. So 3 trips in 1 year, right? Yeah. But you can see a visible difference from when they applied for that first trip to today. Many of them are spectrum leaders. So now they were just attending and just kind of involved to now they are mentoring other youth. Mm. And so that's the goal is that's how we equip the saints for the work of the ministry is, we're building people to then lead others and influence others.
Yeah. I think people sometimes disqualify themselves because maybe past sin, maybe they don't feel like they're smart enough, they don't know enough about the Bible. Speak to those folks about what God has for them.
Yeah, God has something for everyone, right? Every single one of us has a next step. Jim, my next step is to become ordained, okay? I'm a licensed pastor, my next step, get ordained, okay? That's not everyone else's next step.
You're right.
Everyone has one. Maybe your next step is... get to know some more people that are like-minded. Show me your friends. I'll show you who you're going to become very soon, right? Some of you all need to change who your friends are.
Mm. Yeah.
Get in a connect group. My wife and I, even being a pastor, we've had to be a part of a connect group because we just weren't, you would think being a pastor we're connected enough, but we weren't deeply connected with people.
Mm-hmm.
We needed a connect group.
Mm.
And we became a part of one and the friendships that came out of it were so significant, so deep. That's a great start for anyone who's maybe really seriously doubting themselves. Cause then you just gain confidence because in a small group, maybe you're meeting in a home or in a coffee shop and you're called upon to answer a question. Well, in a large mega church, it's so easy to become random. You just come in and out. Maybe you sit in the back. And you're gone. No one even noticed you. That's our hope is that someone would notice you even when you come to church. But really, are you connecting deeply with anyone when you go about your coming to church once a week?
But nobody's going to coerce you. You pretty much have to be willing to let God work through you, and He can do amazing things.
Yes.
Any weakness you have, He can use as His strength. And that's the amazing part. I mean, I'm still embarrassed and humiliated to say that I had a failed marriage. And I would say that's mostly my responsibility. I mean, there's always responsibility on both sides, but I talked to Dr. Emerson Eggerich with love and respect, and I see all the things in his book that I didn't do as a husband. And so it's really easy to self-evaluate. But the fascinating thing is I've had several men. I'm not going to name anybody, but I've had 3 or 4 people that I know very closely. They've had affairs. And somehow God has put me in the middle of that to encourage these men to ask for forgiveness and to keep their marriages intact. And the amazing thing is then I see these wives who are forgiving and willing to work through it, and they're willing to do what it takes to get it done. Then you go back to these men, and, well, you're going to have to be involved with some other men separate from your wife and have some accountability there. Oh, I don't know if I want to do that. Then you take them to one men's group, which they totally resist, and they go, all these guys are just like me.
That's right.
And so that whole fellowship. Well, we've got a lot more to talk about. When we come back, I want to finish talking about the other missionaries in the field. And then I want to talk about how people can come alongside you. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new school at Power Ford. You'll get none of the hocus pocus, hokey pokey stuff the other guys try to pull. So here's the deal. We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. Come see why others rated us Best of the City and Ford Dealer of the Year. Find your ride at MyPowerFord.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. Cesar Loya, the missions pastor of Calvary Albuquerque, in studio with us. It's a great way to start the week, Cesar, to really talk about where people are, how they're gifted, how they can get plugged into fellowship. So it's just not a missions conversation.
It's Missions Monday.
That's right. Well, you've mentioned the Benalis, who are up on the Navajo Reservation a little bit outside of Gallup.
Yes.
And I did not know that Landell was a coach.
He is. He's so passionate about it. I love sports.
Yeah.
And last time he came to visit, we just talked football. It was cool, right? Yeah. And so he's highly involved with Tehachapi High School out there.
Well, I can know in raising five kids, I had them all involved in sports, and don't fix it if it's not broken. Keeps them so busy and so tired that they can't go out and get in trouble.
That's right. Yeah.
And they get a lot of focus out of it. And I think even people that have a tendency to some things like ADHD and these things, they're just really benefits to physical exercise. I think it's amazing. I think music has a lot of positive effects too. We've talked about the Garcias down in Wadis. We've talked about Bev Rich in Uganda and the Martins in Puerto Vallarta. Who else is out in the field?
Oh, we've got the Lamars. So Lorraine and Celestino, or Celing as we call them, Lamars. They're in the Philippines, and they operate Faith, Hope, and Love Ranch. It's an orphanage where they house, and it fluctuates between 20 and 40 orphans out in the Philippines. And it's an epidemic, Jim, that parents are abandoning their children.
Oh, that is so scary.
It is scary. It's really mind-boggling how this happens. But they have this dynamic ministry, an amazing team out there that ministers to these children. And they'll have them in this orphanage for a while. But really, another great goal of theirs, and they do this a lot, is they just set these kids up for long-term adoptions, right? And so I love getting the updates from the Lamars, like another one went to a permanent home. And so that hits so close to home for us, for me, because my wife and I, about 2.5 years ago, adopted three kids.
Wow.
Sibling group and locally. But it was just, you know, it was like a scary step, but the Lord has been with us the whole time. Like, it doesn't feel scary anymore, right? We were called to it. And so Lorraine and Celine, they dedicate their lives to finding those couples that want to adopt. And so there's opportunities to adopt, right? Mm-hmm. But then there's opportunities to pray for the kids. Lorraine sends out a really great newsletter monthly that just shows you pictures of the kids and what they're up to. Speaking of sports, they just built a roof over their basketball court. And that was a big deal because, and it's this beautiful structure now, because now they're able to do outreaches and sports camps year round.
Wow.
They have this massive monsoon season where in the rainy season, you're not outside. There is nothing, you're not out there. It's just too wet.
Right.
And so, praise the Lord, I can report that they're just about to completion with this, this project. It was a really big project for them. And so, you can see like just the events that they're holding and the people they're inviting year round. And really they were crippled for, a couple of months at a time, not being able to do events on site.
Well, Cesar, I walk on to church campuses all around town. And when I see a basketball court, I know the Holy Spirit is present.
That's right. Yeah, we got one here at Calvary Church as well, right? There's something about that, right?
Yeah. I'm just teasing.
Oh, yeah.
So they're down in the Philippines. And, of course, there's some beautiful areas in the Philippines. But, again, unbelievable poverty.
Yes.
And things going on in the culture that are unhealthy. And they just have a heart to take kids who are abandoned?
Yes, literally abandoned. And you know, another part of what their heart is to, if they can, reunite them to a family member. And they've made many attempts with several children, and sometimes they'll have a success story. And most times, though, they're looking to set up an adoption, you know, after they've made those attempts with someone who wants to get in that process, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So a lot of other work's going on.
Yes. So we have Servia Maria Pardo out in Czech Republic, Prague, beautiful city. Earlier in the show, Jim, you mentioned how important music and art can be in someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
And so Servia is my brother-in-law, actually.
And, oh, really?
Yeah. And so we're very close to them. But they have a really great dynamic ministry in that they've partnered with a church down there in Czech Republic that they're a part of. But really the bulk of their ministry comes from friendship and relationship evangelism, right? Where Servi plays drums for a band. And as they have shows around town, you know, he's constantly in communication with people that are unbelievers. Maria is a fabulous artist, and her work has been displayed in coffee shops. And so she'll fellowship in a really deep way with people that are into that. And so those can be avenues of reaching people by just having a common interest.
Mm.
And they're a great example of do what you do in a foreign country, do what you're good at in a foreign country, and see what the Lord can do. And they've taken several steps of faith to just build relationships.
And so, sir, I don't know them, but I'm going to make a statement that I think will apply to them because I know the heart of, that you have. If you get to know 10 people and a couple people come to faith, the other 8 people still know you love them no matter what they believe.
It's true. It really is. And so they go in with this long-term view of, you know, that some works are where you proclaim the gospel and people are being converted to Christ and it's great and you're able to make disciples. They have this really great long view of things of we're going to build relationships and through thick and thin, if the person comes to Christ or not, they're still remaining friends and influencing with the gospel. And at every turn, you know, speaking about their own lives and in a way that's bold yet gentle and kind, being witnesses for Christ.
Yeah. I want to go back to those young people that you talked about surrounding themselves with friends. I think a lot of people want to love their friends. They want their friends to change. They want them to believe. But a lot of times you're influenced and pressured by people that you're hanging around when you're young. So if you surround yourself, you don't have to abandon your friends, but surround yourself with some people that can support you and lift you up and encourage you. And then you can slowly just share your faith and take bold steps with those people that, and the thing that I found, I had people when I first came to faith from in high school that just literally wouldn't talk to me. They just walked away.
Me too.
And here 40 plus years ago, I bet you most of them are walking with the Lord. And it's not because of me. It's because, you know, I was just like maybe the first one God grabbed by the throat, but he's going to get all of us.
Yeah, that's true. And I had a very similar experience in high school as well. Freshman year, I really struggled. I was a believer and going to another church and going to West Mesa High School, but I struggled that freshman year where I, you know, had some friends that were very negative influences on me and I was going down a bad path. But it was there was some youth group students that went to the same high school that I did that noticed me and then just latched onto me, invited me to everything. And there it was just giving me that sense of belonging, inviting me to things and making me a part of things that really ignited my my following of Christ. You know, let me encourage our listeners is. You can be a thermostat or a thermometer, right? The thermostat changes the temperature. The thermometer just reads the temperature.
Mm.
Are you influencing or are you being influenced? And the more we surround ourselves with people that are unbelievers that have a strong influence on our lives, well, you know, it's very likely that we'll not follow a path that obeys the Lord. But if we're surrounding ourselves with believers and still having an influence and a touch with those unbelievers in our lives, then we're more than likely to be a thermostat where we change the temperature in the environment that we're in, that we're being an influencer for Christ.
You haven't mentioned Slave.
Slave, I love Slave, yeah.
Well, we had a chance to talk to him on the air.
Yes.
I guess they make it to Albuquerque periodically.
Yes, so just about once a year, Slave is here, and he's planning to come back. We're still finalizing dates on that. But we actually have a mission trip going out to his area as well, Macedonia and Bulgaria, over in, I want to say in October is when that trip is. And what's exciting about that is they're going to do youth camps, soccer camps, and lots of evangelism. Slave has this great ministry that he ministers to those, to people that are on their deathbed, really. The Lord has given him a lot of influence with that community. He has a TV show in some of the countries that he travels to. So people just recognize him off the street, which is great.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's even gained some influence in some of these governments in Croatia and Macedonia, Bulgaria, where you'll have government leaders get to know him and ask him questions. And so, yeah, Slave does a tremendous work out there, mentors many churches. So a big part of what he loves to do is teach them and show them, you know, what it is to raise up a church and have a healthy church. So the Lord's doing a great work. And so I'm excited for the team that's going to be going. They're going to have their hands full with all that Slave's got for them. It's going to be great.
So, Cesar, walk me through a scenario with Slave, for example. So you're in communication with him periodically.
Yes.
And you end up hearing from him about a need that he has. Share with maybe a story. How does that work, and how can people that are listening right now come alongside you to help you meet that need?
Yes, for sure. So one of the big ways that we communicate any needs from our missionaries, particularly Slave, is, well, he will communicate the need to me and his care team leader, a man by the name of Pete Veris, who is a realtor here in town, has really latched on to Slave. And so they communicate very closely, and that's his right-hand man here in the States, right? And so just about every need that comes out from Slave goes to Pete.
Okay.
And I love that. I appreciate that as a missions pastor, because with so many missionaries, so many mission trips, there's only so much time we have to really focus in and dive in on every need. And so we depend on these group of people on these care teams to respond to whatever the need is. Sometimes the needs are financial. Most of the time it's a prayer need, a spiritual need. Sometimes there's a need for resources or to send some things that they can't get here. There was one time that Slave called us about a young man that was going to travel to Albuquerque to get some medical attention. He thought it was something like Lyme disease.
Mm.
And so we put him in contact with us, and there's several doctors that attend Calvary, and so asked their opinion. He ended up going to a specialist in Arizona and getting a medicine that is very expensive and could not get in his country in Bulgaria. And so we even made petitions to the government of Bulgaria to provide this medicine. And it was through this big network of working with the hospital in Arizona, as the doctors we were talking to here, and some things that I wrote, that the government of Bulgaria provided the medicine for this young man.
And wow.
He's living. He's doing well.
Neat.
Yeah, yeah.
Great story. I know some needs are coming out of Uganda now.
Yes.
What's going on with Bev out there?
Yeah, so with Bev, the big need is financial. You know, it takes a certain amount of money to continue the ministry as it is going right now with the school ministry, the prison ministry that they do, the extensive amount of help that they help with those with medical needs. And so if the Lord would put it on your heart to support her financially, whether one time or month by month, I definitely appeal to you to pray about it. And if the Lord is calling you to that, please obey him. That right now presents, that is the biggest need. And what's great is she'll be here to advocate for the ministry, and you'll be hearing from her. I'm pretty sure over the air here.
Yeah, we'll bring her on the show.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And even here at Calvary Church. And so it'll be great to hear just straight from her everything that's going on. And I can barely keep up with all the stories that happen. It's a lot. she goes through a ton. So what's great is the Lord has continued the work and using her faithfulness and her sacrifice of time and energy.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, Tessar.
Thank
you. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. We'll see you tomorrow.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.